Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 A reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 9, Text Number 9. Tasmai svalokam bhagavan sabhajita.
Tasmai svalokam bhagavan sabhajita.
Sandashayamasha param nayat param.
Sandashayamasha param nayat param.
Vyapeta sanklesha vimoha sadvasam. Saristavadhi purushaya abhishtutam. Translation. Tasmai, unto him, svalokam, his own planet or abode. Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. Sabhajita, being pleased by the penance of Brahma. Sandashayam asa, manifested. Param, the supreme. Na, not. Yet, of which. Param, further supreme. Vyapeta, completely given up. Sanklesha, five kinds of material afflictions. Vimoha, without illusion. Sattvasam, fear of material existence. Sadrishavad bhi, by those who have perfectly realized the self. Urushai, by persons. Abhishtutam, worshipped by. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace. Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. The personality of Godhead, being thus very much satisfied with the penance of Lord Brahma, was pleased to manifest his personal abode, Vaikuntha, the supreme planet above all others. This transcendental abode of the Lord is adored by all self-realized persons, free from all kinds of miseries and fear of illusory existence. Translation responsibly. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, being thus very much satisfied with the penance of Lord Brahma, was pleased to manifest his personal abode, Vaikuntha, the supreme planet above all others. This transcendental abode of the Lord is adored by all self-realized persons, free from all kinds of miseries and fear of illusory existence. The troubles of penance accepted by Lord Brahma were certainly in the line of devotional service, bhakti. Otherwise, there was no chance that Vaikuntha or Svalokam, the Lord's personal abodes, would become visible to Brahmaji. The personal abodes of the Lords known as Vaikunthas are neither mythical nor material as conceived by the impersonalist, but realization of the transcendental abodes of the Lord is possible only through devotional service, and thus the devotees enter into such abodes. There is undoubtedly trouble in executing penance, but the trouble accepted in executing bhakti yoga is transcendental happiness from the very beginning, whereas the trouble of penance in other processes of self-realization, jnana yoga, dhyana yoga, etc., without any Vaikuntha realization, ends in trouble only and nothing more. There is no profit in biting husks without grains. Similarly, there is no profit in executing troublesome penances other than bhakti yoga for self-realization. Executing bhakti yoga is exactly like sitting on the lotus sprouted out of the abdomen of the transcendental personality of Godhead, for Lord Brahma was seated there. Brahmaji was able to please the Lord, and the Lord was also pleased to show Brahmaji his personal abode. Srila Jiva Goswami, in the comments of his Krama Sandarbha annotation of Srimad Bhagavatam, cites quotations from the Gaga Upanishad, Vedic evidence. It is said that Yajnavalkya described the transcendental abode of the Lord to Gargi, and that the abode of the Lord is situated above the highest planet of the universe, namely Brahmaloka. This abode of the Lord, although described in revealed scriptures like the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, remains only a myth for less intelligent class of men with a poor fund of knowledge. Herein, the word Svadrishtavadbhir is very significant. One who has actually realized his self realizes the transcendental form of oneself. Impersonal realization of self and the supreme is not complete because it is just an opposite conception of material personalities. The personality of Godhead and the personalities of devotees of the Lord are all transcendental. They do not have material bodies. The material body is overcast with five kinds of miserable conditions, namely ignorance, material conception, attachment, hatred, and absorption. As long as one is overwhelmed by these five kinds of material miseries, there is no question of entering into the Vaikuntha Lokas. The impersonal conception of oneself is just the negation of material personality and is far from the positive existence of personal form. The personal forms of the transcendental abode will be explained in the following verses. Brahmaji also describes the highest planet of the Vaikuntha Loka as Goloka Vrindavan, where the Lord resides as a cowherd boy, keeping transcendental Surabhi cows and surrounded by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune. Chintamani Prakara Sadmashikal Praviksha Lakshar Vityasi Surabhi Abhipalayantam Lakshmi Sahasra Shatasam Brahmasevyamanam Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Brahma Samhita 5.29. The statement of the Bhagavad Gita, Yad Gafanani Vartante Tat Dhamma Paramam Mama, is also confirmed herewith. Param means transcendental Brahman. Therefore, the abode of the Lord is also Brahman, none different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is known as Vaikuntha, and his abode is also known as Vaikuntha. Such Vaikuntha realization and worship can be made possible by transcendental form and senses. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Ajnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurmilitamina Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhisthaṁ Sthapitaṁ Yena Bhutale Svayam Prakadam Yam Dadati Svaparantikam Pancha Kalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Eva Cha Patitanam Pavnebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Okay, so. So just yesterday we were hearing about the penance performed by Lord Brahma for a total of 1,000 celestial years of demigods' time. This came about, of course, after receiving an instruction from the waves of the causal ocean flapping into each other and producing the sound tapa. Lord Brahma could understand that he's meant to perform austerity. So, in the purport to that, Srila Prabhupada had explained that one actually needs qualification to be able to discern such transcendental potency. And we can see that sometimes people, they can hear the holy name, they can come and sit and hear the discourses, but unless they have that, the adhikar to actually be able to discern that it is transcendental sound, it is transcendentally potent, they will not be able to take advantage of that sound vibration. So here Lord Brahma, because he was qualified to actually take up, as a personality, he was qualified to take up that post of being Lord Brahma and being the secondary creator. He had the qualification within himself to discern what that transcendental potency was and what it meant. And therefore, by transcendental discrimination and from that sound vibration, he was able to receive the transcendental sound from the bona fide spiritual master. Of course, he received directly from Krishna. And in this way, he showed that he was actually able to access the instruction of his spiritual master. And Prabhupada mentions also, which is a very important point, a very inspiring point, that by following the order of the bona fide spiritual master is the only duty of the disciple, and it is the actual secret of success. So having the faith in the words of the guru, which is always in line with the Shastric injunctions, which is always in line not only of our Diksha Guru, but also the other spiritual masters, other authorities that are helping us grow in bhakti. When we practice devotional service under their guidance, we are assured of success because we will not deviate from the path. We'll always be kept on the right path. And there was mentioning of Lord Brahma being able to control his senses, which meant that his senses were engaged only in service of the Lord. So it's interesting to know that Prabhupada then also mentioned that executing the orders of the bona fide spiritual master is factual control of the senses. So we get Guru Vani, we get the instructions of the spiritual master, and of course the most important instruction is to chant Hare Krishna attentively. And engage in devotional service, be active in Krishna's service. And how we do that, of course, we have so many devotees around us who engage us in service, who teach us how to put the instructions into place, the details into place. And by doing so, we're actually controlling our senses and we're automatically also following the instructions of the spiritual master. So Lord Brahma's example in this section shows us that success is guaranteed indeed to one who follows with faith the instructions of the spiritual master. It took Lord Brahma 1,000 celestial years. It may take us a moment, it may take us months or years or lifetimes to actually perfect the instructions of the spiritual master. But it is important that we always stick to the guidelines given by the spiritual master, coming in disciplic succession. So the first point of this translation speaks about how the Supreme Personality of Godhead was pleased and satisfied by the penance performed by Lord Brahma. And penance as we know it, Prabhupada mentions that this was in the line of devotional service. So it wasn't an austerity performed separate from Krishna's pleasure. It was an austerity performed for the pleasure of Krishna. And that is what made it full of bhakti. That is what made it devotional service. So we do not have to independently try to perform austerities or penances. Our austerities come with the instruction of the spiritual master from controlling our senses, from chanting Hare Krishna, as Srila Prabhupada had wanted us to do. So that is our austerity. In the Bhagavad Gita, we hear of the, in the 17th chapter, austerities of the body, austerities of the tongue. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that of all the senses, the tongue is the most ferocious. It can do so many things in terms of taking things in and taking things out. For that internal and external cleanliness, it is required, some purification is required. And our austerity, of course, comes in always using our tongue in Krishna's service, from, you know, anything from prasadam to what we what we say, what we speak. So our austerity of the tongue is to actually control it and speak about Krishna-related activities. This is not only coming from Srila Prabhupada, but also from the Nectar of Instruction. It is explained how one's sense control also begins with the tongue, being able to control the urges of the tongue, the belly, the genitals. This equates one to being able to become a master of their senses, to become a Goswami instead of becoming a Godas, someone who's controlled and dictated by their material senses. But when one takes control of these senses and uses them in the service of the Lord, then the senses become controlled. So in order to do that, of course, we have to engage the senses in a higher engagement, in a higher taste, and the senses become purified. In that way, we offer everything to Krishna, whether it is our sense of touch or form or our entire body, austerities of the body. As Ambarish Maharaj was showing in his life how he used every aspect of his being in Krishna's service. So for us, we may not be able to perform austerities for 1,000 years because we don't live that long, or for 100 years. You know, the body starts decaying these years from any age. The body has its constrictions, the body has its ailments. So our penance doesn't necessarily lie in being in a cave. It doesn't necessarily lie in Mounavrata. Our austerity, our penance in bhakti is to follow the instructions given by the Guru, which are coming in line from Lord Chaitanya. So the greatest penance, the greatest sacrifice, of course, Lord Chaitanya wanted us to perform, even Krishna and Bhagavad Gita wanted us to perform, is Sankirtan Yajna. That requires us to, of course, access Krishna and distribute Krishna. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and later on in the Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada quotes, in the CC Prabhupada quotes the verse from the 11th canto, Krishna Vanam Trisa Krishnam Sambhukanga. Sango Pangastra Parsidam, Yagya Sankina Praya, Yajantihi Sumerasa. And he gives different commentaries by Srila Jiva Goswami. Srila Swami also gives commentaries on this verse, explaining how this is actually by worshipping Lord Chaitanya, we are also worshipping Krishna. Although this incarnation is our Krishnam, he is not blackish, he is golden. He's coming with his weapons, his beauty, his confidential associates. And this is all necessary. Jiva Goswami explains that it is necessary for us to understand how this Lord Chaitanya is none different from Krishna. And the highest sacrifice, of course, is to engage our being in service of Krishna. Krishna is not, Lord Chaitanya is none different from Krishna, and therefore we should, he explains that it is not necessary to perform any other types of sacrifices, it is not necessary to perform any kind of ceremonies, but he gives relevance to the name of Krishna. It is very necessary that we chant the names of Krishna. So he goes, Krishna Vanam Trisa Krishnam. So this relevance to the names of Krishna is very, very prominent, even by Krishna himself, even by Lord Chaitanya. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains how in the beginning of creation, he sent forth the different living entities, the demigods, the humans. He sent forth rains and grains so that we can subsist and perform yajna for the pleasure of Vishnu. And in that purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that our yajna in this Kali Yuga is Sankirtan Yajna. That is our sacrifice. We use our tongue in glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, spreading His glories. So we're not just taking or just hearing about Krishna, but we're actually performing that sacrifice of broadcasting Krishna's glories. And it is by this austerity in Bhakti Yoga that we will attract the mercy of Krishna. Just like here, Lord Brahma, he's performing his sacrifices in devotional service by meditating for this period of time so that he can get the intelligence and the capability to become the secondary creator. So the resultant, of course, was that Krishna blessed him. Of course, Krishna shook hands with him. We don't necessarily, at this point, we're not necessarily shaking hands with Krishna, but by being engaged in his devotional service, we have Krishna's darshan through the devotees, through the holy name, through the Acha Vigraha. And this sacrifice, it is a necessary part of devotional service to perform some austerity for the pleasure of Krishna, to engage our body, to engage our mind in Krishna's service. So it is very important, and in that way, so many things will become revealed to us. The personal understanding of Krishna being the Supreme Personality of Godhead will slowly be revealed to us. Later in the purport, Prabhupada explains the trouble of penance in other paths of Dhyana Yoga, Jnana Yoga. There's so much trouble in it, and Prabhupada mentions that he used the analogy of biting husk without any grain. Srila Prabhupada says penances in these different types of yogas or austerities creates trouble and nothing more. There is actually no substantial value in sacrifices or in penances performed in those yoga processes, whereas he gives much more prominence to sacrifices in bhakti yoga, that whatever we do is always linked to the pleasure of Krishna. So it might seem like Lord Brahma is just sitting on a lotus flower meditating. It might look like he's just being a yogi, but he's using that meditation, of course, to gain the favor of Krishna so that he can get that buddhi, that intelligence, to become the secondary creator. That is his service that's been given, appointed service. So he's appointed as a living entity. His appointed service is being the secondary creator. Lord Shiva has his appointed services. Different demigods have their appointed services. Yamaraj, Lord Indra. They are appointed these services by the Lord himself, so they are also dependent on Krishna to be able to fulfill these tasks and duties. This is nicely explained in the first sections of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, where Narada Muni is visiting all these different devotees, Prahlad Maharaj, when he visits Lord Shiva. It's explained in the purports how Krishna himself appoints the different living entities as powerful demigods to perform duties on his behalf. And all that buddhi, all that intelligence, and all that shakti is coming from Krishna himself, so they have to use it in Krishna's service. So this penance, Prabhupada makes it, he explains that undoubtedly there is trouble in executing penances. So Prabhupada is very direct. Sometimes it might become difficult, whether it's in bhakti yoga or any other path. Austerity is not an easy, I won't say it's not an easy thing. It might not sound or seem enjoyable. But Prabhupada mentions that in the bhakti yoga path, it is very pleasurable. Right? But those who those who are less intelligent, they think of these austerities, or they think the revealed scriptures like Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, to be myth, you know, to be nothing but myth or folklore. They do not have that intelligence. And in the verse I quoted from the Yajantihi Sumedasa, it explains that intelligent persons in this age of Kali, they will worship Krishna. They will perform this yagya of chanting Krishna's names. But those who are not intelligent, they will take it to be something that is cheap, something that is mundane, something that is not worthwhile. So they don't have that qualification to enter into the understanding of the revealed scriptures, to enter into the personal understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the relationship to the living entity. After Srila Prabhupada explains this diversion, how less intelligent persons are diverted because they cannot access the personal understanding of Krishna, they are more in tune to the impersonal realization of the self and the Supreme, which is incomplete and is not satisfying. He explains the reason why it's incomplete and it won't be satisfying is because within that there's still a scope of some material afflictions or some designations, whether it's gross or subtle. So he gives the five kinds of miserable conditions that do not allow one to actually access the abode of the Lord. So unless we're cleared of these conceptions, it is difficult for us to appreciate the abode of the Lord, but to speak of the Lord himself. Because gradually, as we perform self-realization, one gets realization of who one is, who Krishna is. And Krishna and Krishna's abodes become revealed to one as they gradually perform pure devotional service. So these five kinds of miserable conditions keep one within the realm of material constraint. It is difficult to actually accept the abode of the Lord as it is and to accept the personality that Krishna, yes, he is Govindam, he is a cowherd boy giving pleasure and milking the cows and being served by Lakshmis, which is referring to the cowherd maidens in Vrindavan. It is difficult to actually access even just that understanding, what to speak of, having a full realization of the Vaikunthas. Not only Goloka Vrindavan, but the other Vaikuntha planets. Of course, understanding that the Goloka planet is the topmost planet in Vaikuntha. So without getting rid of our ignorance, material conception, hatred, attachment, it is difficult for us to actually access Krishna in his Satchit Ananda form, including his Vaikuntha planets. So, to access this abode of the Lord, to access which is Brahman, which is eternally pure, not tinged by the modes of material nature at all, we have to, of course, attach ourselves to Krishna, who is the Parabrahman, who is also of that nature. Krishna is Satchidananda. He's never tainted by anything material. These qualities cannot, these ignorance, material conception, hatred, attachment, absorption, in illusion, these cannot touch Krishna at all. So for us to become transported to that abode, transported into that relationship with that personality, it requires that we follow in his disciplic succession and be carried through that disciplic succession back to home, back to Godhead. So following the parampara or following in the footsteps of the parampara as to how one can attain perfection is nicely given here by Lord Brahma. By having faith in the spiritual master, by qualifying ourselves to be a disciple, hearing nicely and following nicely, having discipline, this is what it means to be a disciple. We're disciplined in accepting the orders of the Guru, Sadhus, and Shastra, which is all based, of course, on the words, the direct words of the Lord, then one can actually be successful and go back home, back to Godhead. This success lies in following the instructions of the spiritual master with faith, with patience and determination. So Lord Brahma meditating for 1,000 years, you know, he was in no rush. And this is celestial demigod years, so it is a very, very long time. So his patience and his faith in the Lord and in the mantra that the Lord had given him, the Gopal mantra that the Lord had given him, his faith in that is what steered him to actually have darshan of the Lord. So we also have to develop our faith not only in the instruction but also in the holy name. Srila Prabhupada showed us very clearly when he brought Krishna consciousness to the West, he explained how he had faith in the words of his spiritual master and in the holy name. He had firm faith that with these two he can achieve success, and he did. We also can follow in those footsteps, whatever sacrifices we're performing, sankirtan, whatever services we're performing with our body, with our mind, we're offering it to the Lord. And as our faith grows, we'll be able to see that success will also be there. It might not be instant, it might not be instantaneous, but the success will be there so long as we continue on the path. So by following in the footsteps of Lord Brahma, trying to please the Lord by our austerity, by our penances, by performing this sankirtan yagya, the Lord becomes pleased and he will give more intelligence to continue like that, more intelligence to expound on the glories of the Lord, help other living entities not only achieve self-realization for ourselves, but also inspire others to follow suit. Then the Lord also becomes pleased. Then we'll be able to understand this wonderful abode of the Lord. We'll be able to understand the nature of Krishna, how he is also eternally situated in he's fixed in his position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that is the topmost understanding of the absolute truth, that yes, there is realization of the Lord in his Paramatma feature, in his all-pervasive nature, in his Brahman realization, that is there. But the topmost understanding is seeing him and understanding him in his Bhagavan aspect, in his personalized aspect, which is what the Bhakti Yogi strives for. So the austerities and penances we perform while trying to reach this goal, it's not really troublesome. Prabhupada mentioned somewhere in the purport that it is maybe I was reading it in a different purport. Yeah, it is transcendental happiness from the very beginning. You know, honoring prasadam, does anyone experience great pain and anxiety controlling our tongue in that way, honoring prasadam, food that has been offered to Krishna? It is not painful at all. It is quite pleasurable. Rising early in the morning and seeing beautiful forms and hearing beautiful sounds. Fine. By the time you roll over onto the floor, or you roll over your mat or your sleeping bag, whatever it is that we sleep on, then the mode of ignorance washes off. Then we come and we see Krishna, or at our home, we perform our puja at home. It is not really difficult. Chanting Hare Krishna, sometimes it's like you're in a boxing ring. Not with Krishna, but with the mind. Because it is all these things that are overcasting the spirit, soul, our material body, our material mind, the different desires or attachments we have. This is what we have to battle. But the penances that we're performing, the austerities in bhakti, chanting Hare Krishna, honoring only Krishna's prasadam, performing sankirtan yagya, these are pleasurable. These are very, very wonderful activities. Just going onto the street and singing Hare Krishna. Going to a Bendigo parade and just chanting Hare Krishna. It was very pleasurable. There's one lady who said she literally was about to roll over. She was so happy to see the Hare Krishnas. She was besides herself. And she said, "You guys look like you're not walking. You guys are like on a cloud. You're floating." I'm like, oh, okay, thank you. Yes, I'll tell everyone that. We look like we're floating. So even sometimes for ourselves, it's difficult to actually see the wonderful effect of chanting Hare Krishna. From an external point of view, some persons just see it as an extremely, you know, although they're not devotees of Krishna, but they appreciate it so much because they see the different, they see the spiritual effect that the devotees, how they're effulgent, they're happy internally. It's not just an external feat. So it is a very easy process in one sense, but it only becomes difficult due to the afflictions on the material body, the afflictions on our mind, our material desires, our conditioning. So when we get rid of these things, it becomes easy to actually access Krishna. It becomes easy to digest Krishna's instructions and the instructions of the Guru. But if we hold on to our ignorance, I am man, I am woman, I'm black, I behave like this, I'm from India, I do things like this, or I'm from Japan or Korea, whatever it may be. When we hang on to these material conditions or these material afflictions, then it becomes largely slower to access Krishna and his abodes. But when we give up these afflictions, the more we engage in devotional service with faith and determination, these things become easily, they easily wear off. So, of course, the success lies in just dutifully and faithfully executing the instructions of the parampara coming from our spiritual masters. So this is all in disciplic succession, and in that way everything remains intact, and the success is something that is sure to come, as we see with the example of Lord Brahma. He performed his duty with faith, in the words, faith in the mantra he was chanting. And Prabhupada mentions at the end of the purport to the previous verse that that is the success of devotional service. That is the secret of success, that completely and faithfully executing the order of the bona fide spiritual master. So I'll stop there, and I'll ask if anyone has any comments or corrections, if anyone wants to add something, clarify, obscure that prayer for you. Thank you for that comment. That's a wonderful, most perfect example Prabhupada gave, being in a diseased state of life. That's what material life is. We have this jaundice and everything is bitter. The medicine is bitter, but it is the medicine that we have to take at this point in time. And with faith and some patience and determination, over time, there's a wonderful transformation that happens, that this disease state automatically gets cured. So the secret is to just stay on the path and continue with faith. We have to understand that this is a process and it actually works. At this point, there's a lot of stuff happening because we're in a disease state. We have all these material afflictions Prabhupada mentions in the purport. And the medicine is to perform this Sankirtan Yaga, which is the sacrifice for this age. Of course, we have so many other things that help us maintain that deity worship, studying Shastra, etc. But the sacrifice, chanting Hare Krishna is there. And over time, we get to have that realization, not only understand it, but have the realization of it as well. Thank you for your comment. Anyone? Did I get another one? How do you increase your faith in the holy name? We have to constantly remind ourselves of the glories of Nam Prabhu by hearing the wonderful potencies of the holy name. That naturally will increase our faith. And if we surround ourselves with persons who chant the holy name with a lot of attention and seriousness, naturally that also inspires us to be attentive to the holy name. So when we hear the glories of the holy name, whether we're reading from Bhagavad Gita or the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's wonderful descriptions about the holy name, how the holy name, it is Krishna, it is none different. It is like Chintamani, it is touchstone. The holy name has everything. You know, when you hear repeatedly over and over again about the glories of the holy name, naturally the soul becomes attracted, just like when we hear about Krishna's pastimes, we become attracted to the personality and we take the name seriously. So to have that understanding about what is the holy name, what is Nam Prabhu, and how do I deepen my relationship, when you work on a relationship, it will take time. But the effort has to be there. We have to understand what it means to be attentive in our chanting, what it means to be attentive when we do kirtan as well, not only japa, but also kirtan, when we do it as a service. And naturally the mood the understanding that the name and the form are none different will come over time. But in the beginning, we surround ourselves with those who chant enthusiastically, and we educate ourselves about the wonderful glories and potencies of the holy name. That naturally increases our faith. When we hear about the pastimes of Srila Prabhupada, any pastimes in the Bhagavatam, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita about Krishna, his name, his form, his qualities, the more we hear these, the more our faith increases. Our faith in the process, and our faith in chanting the holy name. So hearing is quite essential in all respects. Yes, any more problem? Yeah, that is the...
And why do you get that taste anywhere else?
And that will give us enough faith to not want to go back and taste anything else. Because sometimes when we're just in our comfort zone, we become familiar with everything. But if we put ourselves out, and as Anil Prabhu mentions, we go out, whether it's into the city or wherever, we're put face to face with material existence, and we're forced to take shelter of Krishna and chant the holy name, we get that realization very quickly that actually there's nothing else to be gained in this place. And just by chanting the holy name, we're naturally, we get elevated. Even if you come and you're not really enthused, but after 5 minutes, there's a wonderful transformation that happens. Your faith increases by the mercy of Krishna, because you see what other option is there. You're either here or there. And when we see people perpetually trying to pursue happiness, but when we look at them, we know that it's not working, it's not happening. And we look at ourselves, and our bliss and our ananda is increasing very simply, very wonderfully, then our faith naturally will increase. So taking ourselves out of our comfort zone and getting rid of all these material afflictions, as Anil Prabhu was mentioning. So we just have to open that jar and just go for the kill, if you know what I mean. Yeah, okay, the last one.
He meditated and he realized Krishna and that way. And then we hear Prabhupada mentioning many times that we can realize Krishna in a moment. So how do we understand
that? How do we understand that? Okay, Lord Brahma, it took him 1,000 celestial years to get the realization, and at some point Prabhupada said you can realize Krishna in an instant. Yeah, both are correct. Here we have to understand this is this example. This sometimes in the Bhagavatam there are certain examples that, because there's always so many lessons that the acharyas are trying to give. There's so many pastimes that could have been included in the Bhagavatam, but there's specific ones that are here. So Lord Brahma's situation of being the secondary creator and how he had to undergo austerity and penance, that is something, of course, Krishna is in control of that situation too. So for a specific reason, Krishna is teaching us about this personality, Brahma, meditating for X amount of years. True, it can be in an instant, or it can take 1,000 years, or 10. In this instant, of course, it is a plan of Krishna. Just like it was Krishna's plan, Lord Brahma understands Krishna's position, but at the same time, there was Brahma Vimohana Lila, where Krishna himself bewildered Lord Brahma, or where he bewildered Lord Shiva or Indra, so many different demigods. But that is to make a very stern point to teach all of us. So we can realize Krishna in an instant, or it can take X amount of years. There was, who was in Bhagavatam, the pastime of which king? He became purified in a moment. What was his name? Katvanga Maharaj. So even in a moment, it can happen. But it's not. It looks like a, what do you call it in English? Contradiction. But it's not a contradiction. It's actually in a moment, in 10 years, 100 years. It also depends on the desire of the individual. Any other problem?
He realized, in one sense, he realized Krishna
sound. With time. Yeah. Yeah, so with Lord Brahma, I mean, how many persons can just hear waves clapping and figure out that, you know, tapa means I have to perform austerity? But Prabhupada mentions that he heard that sound, but he didn't see the person who vibrated but that sound, but he understood what he had to do. So sometimes it's like you get an instruction in your early years and you, from a certain personality, it might be this guru or that guru. We don't understand it as yet, and later on we really understand the full potency of that instruction that we were given. So like you were saying, there's different grades of being instructed, and later on Lord Brahma, everything was revealed to him, but he was able to discern, he was able to actually discern that what that potency was, what that sound vibration was, and how beneficial it was for him. That is why he further went on with that austerity. And then by Krishna's plan, later on he revealed his entire plan to Lord Brahma. So at any point, anything can happen at any point, because we're gradually realizing Krishna. We're always trying to realize Krishna. Okay, very last one.
The really same question struck me also at the very beginning of the lecture. But I had a bit of a realization about it. I'm allowed to share that. I was thinking it's the position of grandma as alone, being alone at that time. And there was no way to guide him except the instructions that the Manda has received. Whereas Prabhupada was telling, like, you know, it takes us to realize Krishna in this process, because the process has been simplified to the disciplic succession. We have Guru Parampara to guide us. Whereas grandma, there was nobody in person. There was no Parampara at that stage, because he was single being at that time. Mm-hmm. So that is for us.
I hope it will take us this lifetime to go back to Godhead. With Lord Brahma as well, we should understand, as he's the secondary creator and the first created being, he received later on we'll start hearing about the Chatushloki of Bhagavatam and how that was expanded. So there was great impetus and so much potency vested to the personality of Lord Brahma by the Lord himself. So not, you know, we can't really put ourselves in the same situation as Lord Brahma. He was instructed directly by the Lord from within the heart. Everything was revealed. In that series of pastimes of King Puranjana, in the purpose there, Prabhupada explains that for most conditioned souls, it is very difficult for us to take dictation from the super soul internally because we do not have that qualification. But that qualification, that mercy comes by the expansion of the super soul and the spiritual masters, the entire parampara system. That is the mercy. Some personality, like Lord Brahma, he was first created being and he understood by a transcendental potency what he should be doing. Without hesitation, he went and performed his meditation. So it takes some qualification, some potency from the Lord within to give him that intelligence. So he's a very special character, whereas we, in our conditioned state, we have so many afflictions, we cannot directly perceive the instruction of the super soul within, so he has to manifest. They have to manifest in the different acharyas that have come in our spiritual masters, and in that way we'll be able to put into proper application. And as we can see, our entire parampara system, there's so much detail as to how to perform bhakti. They've given so many, you know, nectar of instruction, nectar of devotion, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, commentaries are there. So much literature has given guidance how to perform practically devotional service. So for us, that is necessary because we do not have that type of intelligence to just discern, this is the sound vibration good for me. It has to be given by our parampara. And in that way, that's our good fortune. And our success will lie in dutifully and faithfully following that system. Okay, I'll stop there. Thank you very much for your kind attention. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samavir Bhaktavinda ki, Dhani Thai Gaurapya Manandeya.